Welcome. It's Thursday night and time for the Psychic Viewpoint on PsychicAccessTalkRadio.com with your hosts, Maureen Halloran, Sharon Bradley, Nancy Galway, and Phil Powers. During the second half of the show, call in to connect for a free psychic reading. Join us during this transpersonal collective experience. Sponsored by PsychicAccess.com, where all the psychics have been interviewed, verified, and accuracy tested, assuring you the highest quality of quality service. And now, on with this week's show.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Maureen Halloran, and you are listening to the Psychic Point, sponsored by PsychicAccess.com. Tonight, predicting earthquakes. Jim Hoffman, who is the only American scientist to predict the name of major quake.
Jim forecast October 17, 1989, the World Series quake that rambled through the San Francisco Bay Area was right on the money. He accurately predicted at least six other significant quakes around the world. He is the subject of The Man Who Predicts Earthquakes by author Cal Ori. Many of his theories based on tides, moons, geyser activity, disoriented pests, cats and dogs, and magnetic field changes are linked to the Great Indian Ocean Quakes Tsunami disaster on December 26, 2004. Since scientists admit they aren't able to readily predict earthquakes, it is really so far-fetched. So Berkeley hopes that someday earthquake warnings will be announced along with weather and could save countless people's lives around the world. The experts and high scientists state that earthquake prediction is currently a scientific impossibility. Jim maintains that the topic is too important to leave to the experts and will then continue to do the impossible, which is better than 75% batting average, which is more than 300% greater than chance. So before we get started, please join me in welcoming my co-host, Nancy Galway. How are you, Nancy?
I'm very well, Maureen. Thank you. How are you?
Okay, I'm here. Thank you.
You've had better days.
I think maybe that's the case. Would you like to tell us a little bit about your work, please?
Well, like everybody else, I work for PsychicAccess.com, and I really enjoy it, and I'm an empath and intuitive, and I use a variety of tools, but I really love using the tarot deck, and I think I mentioned last week, I think I'm addicted to tarot cards because I kind of collect them now because of all the artwork and the significance of the cards and everything, so I have very... several decks that I use, and I just really enjoy it. And I'm very happy to be here tonight.
Well, thank you so much. that's really fun, because I'm all about tarot as well. And Sharon Bradley, how are you doing this evening?
Well, hi. I'm thrilled to death to be with you guys tonight. It's always fun guest co-hosting. I also work on PsychicAccess.com, and I specialize in tarot reading and clairvoyance and clairaudience. So I love talking to people about their relationships and how to get you unstuck and how to get you from where you are to where you want to be, that kind of thing. So, you know, I love taking questions in my chat room, too, on Psychic Access about metaphysical topics of all kinds and spooky stuff. So we have time. Looking forward to talking with Jim tonight, and very honored to be with you guys.
And Rez, it's really lovely that you are here as a guest host. I adore you. We all adore you.
And I adore you too.
Thank you. And you're wonderful. And Sharon Bradley, how are you doing? Is she here with us? Okay. Well, Sharon Bradley is not here with us. I will say a little bit about her. She's all that and then some. She's great. And she also works with us on Psychic Access. .com, and she's a great reader, and there you have it. And I think we're going to be pulling her in soon later, but I'll continue. And me, here I do the dishes, I vacuum. I also work with psychic on the site with all my co-host here, my kind, you know, like-minded host at psychicaccess.com, and I am an intuitive tarologist. I have all the CA stuff going on. So I'm not going to name them all. And I help people in a direct, help themselves. I like to help people that are open-minded, and also every negative can be a positive, and I'm very objective, and I take pride in that. So there you have it. So Sharon will be with us, I'm sure, shortly. So tonight I'm delighted and honored to interview our special guest, Jim Berglund. Jim Berglund is a geologist studying earthquake prediction. He claims to have developed a method for predicting earthquakes and offers his predictions through media appearances and publications. Before his retirement, Berglund was a county geologist for Santa Clara County in Northern California for 21 years. He previously worked for the Bureau of Reclamation and for the U.S. Geological Survey. He has published over 50 scientific papers, in an interview published on October 13, 1989, one day before the start of baseball's 1989 World Series, Berglund predicted that an earthquake with a magnitude between 3.5 and 6.0 would occur in the San Francisco Bay Area between October 14th and October 21st. The 6.9 magnitude Rose, can you pronounce that?
Only because I used to live in California.
Yeah, I do too, but
Loma Prieta earthquake.
Prieta, that's it. Thank you. And I remember that one too. Earthquake occurred on October 17th. Were you there then too, Rose?
I was in Glendale, yeah.
Oh, wow. So you and I both know about Jim.
I was born in Glendale.
So before the start of the third game of the series, Berglund claims that the government officials told him not to make any more predictions during mass panic, and he was suspended for 2 months from his Santa Clara County geology position late October 1989. Can you believe that? Yes. For more information about Jim, please visit his website at http://sedgery. It's spelled it's on our guessing too. Okay, so
who could say that?
It's called Sidgizzy. It's a really interesting way to pronounce it. I did pronounce it right though, I found it. So be sure to stay tuned for the second half of our show to get your free on air reading with our gifted psychics here. We will announce that call-in number later in the show, so be sure to have a pen and paper ready. If you were able to catch our last show on hypnosis that Nancy did, which was a great show, Nancy, you will find a recorded archive.
Thank you.
As well as archive of all previous shows on psychicaccess.radio.com under the Archives tab. Please feel free to circulate the archives links and future show details with your friends and families, neighbors, their dogs and cats, and everybody else. It is our objective to connect with as many individuals as possible, so please share that link with others. So welcome to the show, Jim.
Well,
it's such a great honor to have you with us tonight.
I should correct one thing about the World Series quake, which I named in the Gilroy Dispatch 4 days before it happened. I had called the reporter and said that it was going to be a 6.5 to 7. And I told some of my colleagues the same thing because of the multiple indications that it would be a really big one. The reporter said that's going to likely to frighten a lot of people here. Maybe you better lower that expectation. I said, well, okay, for your paper, I called it a 3.5 to 6. But to everybody that knew me, knew I was calling for a 6.5 to 7, and it came in at 6.9 to 7.1. And that seemed to be fine for a week or so. I thought I was really vindicated because I'd have been predicting quakes successfully since 1974, so that's 15 years. And suddenly, my colleagues and mainly were disturbed that somebody outside of their own bailiwick was predicting quakes when they'd been unable to do so. And they put pressure on the state, which put pressure on the county board of supervisors, and then my boss put pressure on me and said I was suspended, and that would be indefinitely till I could get to the bottom of it. Anyway, I was suspended for 2.5 months, and they let me come back to work if I would promise I would not predict any more quakes on county time. And that's when I started my monthly newsletter, Syzygy, which means the lining up of the sun, moon, and earth. And we just had a perfect syzygy yesterday with the total eclipse of the moon seen over the west gull of the eastern hemisphere. We did not get to see it in North America. But the same physical forces were there. We were directly in a tug-of-war between the sun and moon. And that produces extremely high tides. A fact that has really only been understood for about 300 years. I know the astrologer went to his mentor, was Galileo, and Kepler went to Galileo and said, I think the tides in the sea have something to do with the phase of the moon. And Galileo said, that's nothing but astrological nonsense. And so that set back science a couple hundred years. But anyway, that's the thing. If somebody thinks outside the box, that becomes a threat to mainstream science. And I have been a threat, or called a maverick.
I know I grew up in California, and I think Rez, we just four of us host here, and we were talking because we've known about you for a long time, and I remember that quake at the World Series. I lived in Long Beach, excuse me, at the time, as well as last night I was out the Grunion running, and I lived down here in I live right near Mexico, Coronado Imperial Beach, on the beach here, and the full moon I couldn't see, but I was thinking about you because it was really high tide, the Grunion were running, but I couldn't see the moon. But I just want to tell you, I find what you're doing very brave. and who cares about, you've been called these names, whatever, you're getting. This is great that you came out of the closet. Well, this is who you are. But you were in a situation working as a geologist, and people debunked you and all that stuff. So, when did you first work as a geologist? How many years were you?
Well, my dad was a rock hound, and I grew up in the country here in the Valley of the Moon, which is ironic because I use the moon for my predictions. But I intended to become a forester, and I went to Berkeley with that intent in mid-year, and I found out that I've already had all of the, going to junior college, that was all I could afford at the time, and I'd gone 3 years to junior college, and I'd already had all the units that they could accept as in lower division. And I couldn't take any upper division classes in forestry until it had the summer field camp. And I said, well, what does that pay? No, it costs you about $200. Well, that summer I was going to have to earn money so I could return in the fall. So I quickly switched over to geology, where two of my old high school buddies were already studying in that field, and we all roomed together in Berkeley. So it was a very quick transition. And it worked out fine because I went directly from getting my bachelor's degree at Berkeley to become a geologist assistant at the U.S. Geological Survey, which is the finest scientific body in the world, I thought, until I found out there's a lot of prejudice and hindering of original thought that would come because of economic and political motivations. But anyway, I had a wonderful 6 years of experience with them until I transferred to the Bureau of Reclamation in 1964 and became an engineering geologist. And I still maintain my credential as engineering geologist number 58 with my license in California.
I'm sorry to interrupt you. There is a question. We have a chat, an interactive chat room here, and I don't want. Well, I have a list of questions. I wanted to ask you, but this is a very interesting question. Do you mind if I ask this? She's wanting to know about something she just heard today, and she's in Canada. Where is she? It's from the chat room. The question for you is a significant medium in Canada has warned of a major earthquake in Vancouver Island area today or tomorrow. with huge tsunami to devastate Vancouver and also San Francisco all over the world. Sounds extreme, but makes some small bit of sense. I'm concerned that they are creating fear that may not be necessary. So what do you have to say about that? She's in the chat room listening, so.
Well, I must say, the audio is very difficult for me to decipher here. I'm not sure quite what it is. Are you on a standard?
No, you know what it is? My technical issues. My microphone went on a phone issue. So I'm on my other microphone, which is not as good. Sorry about that.
Well, anyway.
Did you hear?
I did understand that there's quite a concern about the Northwest, and I share that concern. The greatest quake we ever know about in the United States, other than the Alaskan quake of 1964, was on January 26th of the year 1700. And that's known mainly by Indian legends and the discovery of geologists in the last 10 years showing there have been massive shifts of the ground and the forest has been overswept by tsunami, and there was a lot of evidence of buried trees and so forth. Well, anyway, with the carbon 14 dates and studying of the stratigraphy and sediments, there were they finally discovered the date. It wasn't just within 50 years, but thanks to reports from Japan, which had written language, they had an unexpected tsunami swept in the beaches of Japan. It was on January 27th, and so it was 2 days. It would take a day for the tsunami to get across the Pacific, and so all they knew was they had this killer tsunami come in Japan, and they didn't know about the quake. The quake was clear over on this side of the Pacific. So we now know it was January 26th, and it was right between two of the highest tidal forces of the century, in early January and early February.
Right. You know, Jim, where I live, we have tsunami. Where I live down here at the beach in Imperial Beach, Coronado, we have a bunch of signs all over the place. Well, signs all over saying, enter tsunami. Tsunami area. With the earthquake at Easter, a year ago Easter hit, I was in my home, and like I said, looked at the beach, and after, that was a very interesting earthquake. Anyway, afterwards, the lifeguards came out and said, everybody get, a lot of people didn't know the earthquake had hit that we were on the beach. And they said, everybody get off the beach. we may be having a tsunami. So I live in this yep. earthquake energy in Mexico all the time. So that's why I've been following you. I follow you.
I was born in Glendale, and my folks moved us to Long Beach in early 1933, where I lived for about 2 months, and then they moved us back to Iowa so they could show me off to the relatives. And while we were away, the Long Beach earthquake hit. It was only a 6.3, but it was absolutely devastating, especially to the masonry schools. And a governor's committee of scientists quickly studied what had happened and reported to the governor within a week or so, telling him that had the earthquake occurred about 2 in the afternoon when the students were all in school, rather than a quarter to 6 at night, they would have lost between 10,000 and 30,000 school kids. And that caused the state legislature to get off their duff for the first time, maybe, and adopt the Field Act. And it was signed by the governor by the end of March in 1933, the same month of the Long Beach quake. That quake occurred on the day of syzygy, of a total eclipse of the moon.
I grew up in Long Beach, and then also one of the hosts here Rosmiranda. She also lived in Glendale, which is interesting. We were living in Glendale, Long Beach. But I did a lot of research. I know the quake you're talking about. I wasn't born yet. I was born 30 years later. But I did hear about if it had happened, the devastation, because I was involved with the historical society there, you know, and I was a little earthquakes in me. I'm very sensitive to earthquakes before they happen. And so, yeah, if it had occurred later, they would have really lost. It was pretty intense. So,
well, you know about the San Fernando earthquake in 1971.
Hello. Yeah.
Okay. That was also on the day of the eclipse of the moon. And yes. I was surprised to read about that quake years later. I was a student at Davis when it hit. I'd gone back to school to work on my doctorate, which I never completed. But that quake happened at 6:01 in the morning, and when I later went back through the L.A. Times, I saw an article about the head of Griffith Park Observatory, and he said, "I think yesterday's earthquake had something to do with the eclipse of the moon. Not that the eclipse caused the quake, but through extra gravitational stress, triggered a weak place in the fault." Now, that was my idea. I didn't come up with it until 3 years later, but it was like 10 years later when I saw Dr. Kaufman's statement in the L.A. Times. So my idea has been reinvented a number of occasions. I've been the most persistent to pursue it, and I've really come close to establishing it. We had a Birkeland family reunion in Northridge in 1994 on the 1st of January. And I warned my cousin, who lived in Northridge, that she had to do something to preserve her lifelong collection of Hummelware that was all around on shelves. Oh, she said, "I know I should." But she didn't. And 2 weeks later came the Northridge earthquake.
Oh, boy. I mean, she was pretty upset about the Humboldt's. You know, that Northridge, speaking of that one, I was on the radio in Long Beach at the time for 2 years at an FM station. And I feel earthquakes weeks before they happen. I'm not a predictor. I don't proclaim to be. But I'm so sensitive to the environment, my body, I can feel, and I would feel things shaking. And it's always happened that when I talk about it, it will happen 2 weeks. It's almost like I get electrical feelings through my body. So the Northridge one was interesting because I'd been talking about it on the radio for 2 weeks prior to that. I kept saying, "I feel something coming, really intense." And, you know, I had a client that morning at 4 o'clock in the morning on the phone, and he lived in Northridge, and he asked me how I got into my work, and I talked about these earthquake things I feel, blah, blah, blah. I hung up, and in minutes, major earthquake hit Northridge.
Wow.
Yeah, it was something weird. So I think, you know, Rosmiranda wanted to ask you about something. She's from Glendale. She was in Glendale during the earthquake. So, Res?
Yeah, I was. Hi, Jim. Nice to talk to you.
Hi.
I was in junior high during the 71 quake. I'm somebody that gets migraines, have since I was 2 years old.
Join the club. Join the club. Are they centered in the middle of the forehead?
Yep.
They start about 3 days before the quake?
Exactly.
And they disappeared just an hour or so before the quake?
Yes.
That's been the I've got year number 22 now that I have.
Oh, wow.
Exactly those symptoms. And 21 of these people were women. Only one man has reported to me. I think they're reluctant to describe these headaches as related to quakes.
Yeah.
But you're right. And it's a valuable tool. There are, on my website, there are people that report your symptoms. It's syzygyjob.com, SYZYGYJOB, my initials, .com, and you go down to the forum, and on the forum you will see earthquake sensitives, seismic sentries, which are animals reports, and dreamers, and people with various theories. We've been discussing. I started my website in 1997, and it's still going.
Well, you'll see me in the forum, definitely. That's fascinating. I've always wondered about that. I've always noticed a difference in the feel, in the temperature, the ambiance of wherever I am a couple of days even before that happens, even aside from the migraine. It's as if everything becomes eerily still. Does that make sense?
That surely was. Now, the day before the World Series quake, I came out of the office and headed for the parking lot. There were two women walking just ahead of me, and it was very sultry and still and warm, especially for October. Mm-hmm. And the one woman said to the other, "This feels like earthquake weather." And I said, "You said it," and I gave them a copy of my prediction.
There you go. Wow. Well, thank you for that little bit of validation. This must be terrifying to the people listening that have never lived in California. But yeah, it's funny how we get a little bit used to it, you know.
For sure. Well, I taught back east at Appalachian State University just for one year. And when they heard I was not accepting a continuation of my position as an assistant professor, I was coming back to California with my wife, was still here with a little daughter. And so I said, "There's too much Californian in me, and I'm heading back." And the students and professors saying, "You're heading back to the earthquake country?" And I said, "Yes, and I'm leaving the hurricanes and tornadoes and blizzards."
As if nothing else happens geologically or weather-related anywhere else in the country but California. Well, thank you, Jim.
Thank you.
Well, Rez, that's interesting, you know, because, like I said, I'm very sensitive, and I don't want to be.
It's not fun.
You know, Jim, it occurred to me, though, the earthquake on Easter, the Easter earthquake that was actually right nearby me, well, the Mexico one, which was a very difficult one for me because, you know, you never get used to it. You're powerless to it. It's the worst feeling. And it was such a slow motion, as you heard. I don't know if you guys felt it up where you were, but it was pretty intense being so slow and tilty. But I found that normally I hear dogs or the car alarms or dogs or barking. I didn't hear any of that going on.
Exactly. It just gets really, really quiet.
How come that? Because a lot of times, you know, you hear the dogs barking and everything's going off. And I know that you talk about how, you know, you do watch pets like days or weeks before they might leave, before and they can pick it up, you know, before as well. But do you know anything about, have you heard or have you, you know, what are your thoughts on the fact of what I'm talking about? I didn't hear the dogs barking or...
Oh, yes. Well, for the first, from 74 to 79, I based my predictions almost all entirely on the tidal forces from the sun and moon. And then we had had a 5.9 quake near Gilroy, just south of San Jose, August 7th, I believe, of 1979. And it was... just a month later when a physicist called me, he worked with a Xerox, and he said, "I agree with your upcoming seismic window," that's an earthquake-prone period based largely on tides, "because the cats are disappearing again." And I thought, what kind of a loony is this? He interrupted me at home at dinner, and he predicts quakes by strange behavior from cats. So I said, "What do you mean?" "Well, for the last 6 months, I've been watching the Lost and Found column in the Mercury News, and I find the normal number of missing cats is 2 or 3. And then just before a quake, a few days before, the numbers increased, double, triple, like it was 12 before that quake we had last month at 5.9. And I thought, that's interesting. And suddenly, like a light bulb over my head, I realized our cat, Rocky, had disappeared 6 days before that very quake and was still gone. Rocky did not return till 6 months later. He had fled somebody else's house 4 days before the next 5-magnitude quake in the Bay Area, which was at Livermore. That made a believer out of me that animals know something more than our instruments. And I started watching dogs, cats, and birds, and daily recording the missing pets in the Lost and Found column. And I have such results now for the Mercury News, for the San Francisco Chronicle, and the L.A. Times. And unfortunately, in recent years, the newspaper business has just deteriorated, and they have practically no ads for lost and found pets. But just before the World Series quake, they were still in full force, and the missing cats went up from 4 or 5 average to 27. It was all different, you know, ballpark. And the dogs went from about 15 to 58. And so that added to my clear evidence that a big quake was coming, not just based on the maximum tidal forces in 3 years, which were on the 14th of October in 89, but also we had homing pigeons getting lost, and they depend on the electromagnetic field for location. And we had rare whale beachings at San Francisco and Santa Cruz. It's never happened before or since for baby beaked whales in San Francisco and a baby pygmy sperm whale in Santa Cruz to beach themselves alive. Never happened before or since. And happened just before the strongest quake since 1906 in the Bay Area.
Well, that's interesting. Now, I heard you talk about, is it an Oscar fish? What's that about?
Well, off Japan, when they see these special fish show up, the oar fish is one of the kinds, oar fish, they get concerned, and they indeed had quite a few of them before their big quake in Japan, off Honshu. But one such fish washed up at Malibu, I think it was like in December, and there was almost nobody knew what it was. It's about 9 feet long, eel-like, and almost translucent. It normally lives down about 12,000 feet. But they tend to come up near the surface or even on the beach before quakes, largely because of the electromagnetic field. I think it's like they get shocks, get stimulated. But it was funny that when this fish was flopping at Malibu, a little boy came up and said, "Oh, that's an oar fish." No, he goes, "Well, do you know that?" Because his teacher just showed him pictures of strange fish, and he knew. So that was quite a thing. But and that, remember, shortly thereafter, you had a massive fish kill near Malibu. And remember the thousands of fish?
Very interesting. Jim, we're going to take a short 60-minute break and from psychicaccess.com, and we'll be right back.
Okay.
A new era in psychic services has begun. Psychicaccess.com. You can connect with our psychic advisors by telephone or chat 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. All of our psychic advisors are interviewed, fully verified, and accuracy tested, assuring you quality service. We're living in some very troubled times right now. More and more, the world's problems are affecting us on a personal level. You don't have to deal with this alone. Our highly accurate psychics, caring advisors, and talented mediums can help with situations you are currently experiencing and can let you know what the future may hold for you. All new customers get a free 6-minute reading. All you have to do is register. Why not visit us now and get a free reading at psychicaccess.com?
And we're back with Jim Berklin, and we're talking about earthquakes. And in fact, also I wanted to bring up, he's also known as the man who predicts earthquakes, and it was from a book, which I did some research, and I read a little bit about, I read a little bit of the book, not all of it, but he was the one who, is it Cal Ori, Jim?
Yeah.
Cal Ori in 2006 had a book out, The Man Who Predicts Earthquakes, Jim Berklin, the maverick geologist. And I want to ask you, how did that come about?
Well, Cal has always been an animal lover, and she saw me discussing, that's on my computer, predictions used based on animals. So she started looking at that, and she wrote a few articles in Cat World, Dog World, and People Magazine, and a few other things. She's written a number of books about the vinegar and chocolate, and now she's doing one on coffee. Anyway, but she said her real love is the earthquake discussion. And in the book, I helped write about a quarter of it, including a listing of all of the quakes of at least 5 magnitude that were not just aftershocks, main shocks, of at least 5 magnitude in the Bay Area from 1973 up until 2006 when the book came out. Now, there's only been one quake of over 5 in the Bay Area since then, and that was the day before Halloween.
When was that? 2007, I believe.
And it was in the top seismic window of the year, maximum tidal force. And also, the big earthquake months for the Bay Area have historically been March, April, and October. And it seems they cluster around the time of the equinox, when you have an equinoctial tide to add to the other tides from the sun and the moon.
You know, I went on her website, as a matter of fact, and read a lot about her. She seems very interesting. Sharon, another host, she has another question in the chat that she'd like to ask. Go for it, Sharon.
Oh, hi, it's Sharon here. Yeti from Penn in the chat room wants to know how you feel about the new Mandarin Fault in Missouri. Am I saying that right, Mandarin?
Yeah, good. You had the right pronunciation. New Madrid, not New Madrid.
Oh, New Madrid. Okay.
Yeah. And that, of course, moved big time in September of 2011, December 11th, I guess, 2011. December 16th, it was. And then a huge second one in January. That was January 16th, that's it. And then February 7th. And that was the biggest one of all. It caused the Mississippi River to flow backwards for a while. There were cascades on the river, and a huge change in flooding of Indian villages, and supposedly rang bells in Boston. So it caused huge changes. Luckily, there was very little population there, and should that occur again, it would be devastating, because we're talking about 8 magnitude quakes where they don't design for earthquakes. They design for wind and for gravity, you know, make the building stand up. But when the gravity moves sideways and up and down, and with several times, more than the force of gravity, maybe two and a half times the force of gravity up and down, that can be really bad. And so anyway, what are the chances of one in the next 20 years? Not very high, because they tend to occur back there by geological investigation about every 300 or 400 years. And so that one was 1811, 1812. Now, it's interesting that we're approaching the anniversary. You know, I think it was December 7th or so. And in reading a book about from the USGS, professional paper 494. They described that thoroughly. Dr. Fuller described the earthquakes there and what had occurred before and after. And he said that it was unusually warm for December. They breathed, come up from the Gulf, and so I guess it was warm. They didn't say it was humid also, but it might have been. But then, in the middle of his articles, he said, the three quakes, in fact, there were 6 of the 7 quakes, the biggest ones, all were at the time of the new or full moon. Now, the U.S. Geological Survey, my colleagues that are still there, deny it. But there it is by Dr. Myron Fuller. And the other famous geologist that did the study of around Great Salt Lake, he found why the had these flat areas 1,000 feet above the lake. It's because the lake was 1,000 feet deeper during the ice age. The water couldn't get out, and so it just built up and built up, and had you could see where the wave action was way back. And you can see many fault lines cutting those flat terraces. But this geologist discovered what those terraces meant. And in his presidential address to the American Association of Scientists, in 1909, I believe, he said that in southeastern Alaska, where the fault lines are parallel to the coast, the tidal forces can trigger earthquakes. And he said that in his presidential address. So this whole idea has been around for a long time, and I've just been supporting it more loudly than most of my colleagues that are afraid of their careers, are called to be considered to be, you know, charlatans or something. But I've accepted that, and I think it's important to get the word out and deal with the truth, no matter how the cards fall.
You know, Jim, I wondered, how did your methodology change, like, as far as psychics and philosophically sensitives and all that kind of stuff? How did that change? Was it proof it was in the pudding because, you know, you were getting the stuff?
Well, yes, I've become very open-minded, and in fact have had some revelations of myself that have, here's one for you. I had a very clear dream about 4 or 5 months ago, and it woke me up. It was so vivid. I saw like neon flashing lights, 12, 12, 12, 12, 12, 12, 12, 12, 12. And I figured that's December 12th of 19, you know, but the last time we have 12, 12, 12. That's going to be a time of very high tides and a full moon, it turns out. But I haven't seen any other justification for that dream. But I worked with Clarissa Bernhardt. She was lived in Southern California, and she was known as the Earthquake Lady. And we've appeared on panels together. And we were on one in San Francisco on a radio station for about 2 hours with the planning director of San Francisco. And as we walked out, she said, she suddenly touched my shoulder. She grabbed it and said, "Jim, there's going to be a four magnitude quake in Mono Lake on September 8th, I think was the date." And I said, "Well, Mono Lake's had a few quakes there, but not recently." But sure enough, on September 8th, a 4.4 hit Mono Lake right on schedule. And she gets these flashes. She doesn't ask for revelations of these kinds. They just come to her like at that moment. She was also walking across with her then husband, who died a few years ago. They were walking across the mall at Sacramento, and she suddenly grabbed her husband and said, "Little Red Riding Hood's going to shoot the president." And he said, "What are you talking about? I just saw it." And so they reported it to the FBI, and they were ready when, what's her name, Frome, came up with a pistol and was going to shoot President Reagan, but they were ready for her, and she's still in jail.
Well, that's very good to hear. Well, that's what you're trying to do, too, because you could eventually help. It's like the weather. You know, we talked that they can announce the weather. They can announce maybe there's an earthquake and predict, get some time frame so people can live through it. You know, I also, Jim, I wanted to ask you, when the Whittier earthquake hit, 1886. I could hear it coming. I could hear it coming before it actually got to Long Beach, before we felt it in Long Beach. And I was with my roommate, and like I said, I don't want to get this stuff. It's not that I asked to be, I'm a predictor of earthquakes or anything, but like I said, my body gets really physically, like, I feel I have severe arthritis. It goes through my spine and everything. But it's like, you know, and the dogs and stuff will hear something at the time when the earthquake's just about to happen, but usually within, you know, a few minutes, right? I think it's something like that.
The P wave, the first primary wave from an earthquake, is a sound wave. And when it rumbles through the ground and then hits the air, you hit your ears. And so the P wave sound is like a truck hitting the house with a sudden boom. We just had a quake in Glen Ellyn 4 days ago. It was only 3.3, but it was centered only 2 miles from Glen Ellyn, the closest we've ever had one that I know about. And we all reacted very quickly, and it sounded like an explosion. But I hadn't felt a quake for 4 years, and so now I can add it to my list. I've felt 82 until then. Now that's number 83 that I've experienced, and the only one that ever frightened me was the World Series quake when it hit while I was on the phone calling the UC Berkeley seismographic station to see if there's been some kind of a foreshock, and the quake hit while I was on the phone, and I thought the big 13-story building was coming down around my ears. It was hard to stand. I was holding on, shelves were toppling.
I remember reading about you and that quake, and that's when I was starting to pick up on energies of, I can't even explain it, like I could feel from, it's electrical, it's like, ew. But when I heard, and I was really, that's when I started really following you and all your things you were doing, more so, of course. But that was something spectacular, that's for sure. Then, and it was a, and because of the situation where it was and everything, it was large, and the World Series, you know, come on, doesn't get any better than that. But I wanted to ask you, and there's quite a chat room that wanted to ask as well, but I had this on my list of questions that we talked about, or to be sent. But you want to, someone in the chat room wanted to know if you have any predictions for North America, and particularly if you get a chance, and I have a chance. And I know he's going to ask you that anyway, about, there's much talk about the big one in California. So when do you expect that?
Yes, I used to think it was just imminent any time. And then following the World Series quake in 1989, I realized that happened almost exactly at the same place on the San Andreas Fault where the 1865 major quake hit that did severe damage in Santa Cruz and San Jose and caused damage in field ground in San Francisco. That quake of 1865 on October 8th scared the heck out of a young writer in San Francisco, one Mark Twain, Samuel Clemens, and he wrote about that earthquake in a number of his journals. So that quake on October 8th followed 5 days after the maximum tidal force of the year. And so it was on the same fault as the 89 quake and about the same magnitude and the same reactions. And so when I put that together with the big one, it's 1906. So if you go from 1865 to 1906, that's 41 years. Now if you add 41 years to the next Loma Prieta quake, 41 and 89, you're up to 2030. Well, I'll be 100 years old when that hits, and I hope to be around to say, yep, I was right.
Yeah, you will be around. So what about Mexico, where I live? Do you think, because of what's going on, well, so much, you know, because like I said, where I live, I'm kind of like, too bad for me. I mean, it's, because I, you know, we get this pretty good, because I'm right, and I can walk to Mexico from my beach.
You know, the 1857 quake was the last really great earthquake to hit Southern California. And it was on the day of the full moon. And the worst one in Southern California since then was the Bakersfield quake, Kern County quake, in 1952. And that was on the day of the new moon. So you see this repeated time and time again. The big one in Alaska on March the 27th of 64 was on the day of the full moon. And the next big 9-magnitude quake with a huge tsunami, the killer tsunami, was the one in 2004 in the Indian Ocean, which was on the day of the full moon. Well, you keep seeing this, and people say, how can they deny that there's a probable relationship?
No, it's so, too much synchronicity going on there. It's the proof's in the pudding.
Yeah, that's what I think. The proof of the pudding's in the shaking.
Yeah, and you know, the full moon was last night. Like I said earlier, I was out, the perennial running. I like to take myself out, walking around. But you couldn't see it. It was too overcast. And I started thinking about you.
That was actually the eclipse. But you had to be in the eastern hemisphere to see the eclipse.
Right.
We had an eclipse on the 1st of June, a solar eclipse partial, And that was only seen northern in the north in Norway and north of the Arctic Circle. And there was a spectacular picture that was on the internet of this Norwegian gal holding out her hand, and there's the midnight sun with a big bite out of it by the moon, and she's like clasping her hand around the sun, and it's just a very moving picture for me, especially with this Norwegian background on both sides. It was just very meaningful to me.
Rez, do you have anything you'd like to ask Jim?
No, that's it. I'm just entranced the whole time.
Yeah, Jim, you're great. You're wonderful. You know, Mary told me you were a true traveler. And you were on twice over there, apparently. And she's a friend and an associate business person with me, too. And I really, really appreciate you taking your time.
Well, my pleasure. I must tell you, I went to see the eclipse of the sun in Peru in 1994. Got the Machu Picchu.
Yeah, my sister's been to Machu Picchu.
It was magnificent. And so we're in the Sacred Valley of the Incas, about to go down to the train to Machu Picchu. And the night before, we stopped at this lodge. And after we'd seen the eclipse, this Peruvian gal got up in the front of the bus and said, "I'm so glad all of you were able to see our eclipse. We in Peru have a tradition. We watch the eclipse, and then we wait for the earthquake." And I said, "Would you please repeat that for my video camera?" I was totally caught by surprise that they knew what I knew. And the next day, a 6.2 blocked the highway there in Peru. Yeah.
You see, you cannot argue with that. You just can't.
Really?
There's no argument about it. And I really do thank you so much for joining us tonight, and taking your time to your knowledge and your continued research.
A copy of my newsletter. I could get a copy. Just send me. That's Jim Berkland, P.O. Box 1926, 4 years before I was born, 1926. Glenn Ellen, two words, California, 95442. And send a self-addressed stamped envelope. Put a couple of bucks in it. They'll pay me for postage and all. And I will send them a latest copy of Syzygy, and I'll be happy to acquaint them with this whole theory, and they can work it out for themselves.
That's great. That's very kind. That's very kind of you. And so that is 1926 Post Office Box?
Yes.
Not Glen Ellen, California. And it's 95442?
Right. Glenn Ellen is where Jack London wrote many of his books.
That's fantastic. Well, you know, thank you so much, and we appreciate you taking your busy schedule out again, and I want you to have a lovely evening, and we do have on your guest page, we have all the contact info, your website, which I will be going on quite a bit, and I really appreciate you joining us, and thank you, and it's been an honor. Everybody I know would say the same thing, too.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, we'll talk to you later.
Oh, he's great.
Amazing.
Yeah,
that was so good.
Yeah, you can find out more about Jim Berkland at Syzygy. I said it right, I think. But he's also on the guest page, as you all know. Well, as you all know now, because I'm saying so. And so all his information is on the guest page at psychicaccesstalkradio.com as well. So I now would like to say, I'd like to take a few moments to make a few announcements, okay? And it goes like this. Please be sure to visit our psychicbloggers.com site to learn about everything from reincarnation to the how-tos of spiritual development. And then even more than that, there's so much more. It's a great, you guys really need to check it out. It's really something. Excuse me. If you're interested in reading from the best professional psychics on the net, go to psychicaccess.com, where you'll find the best verified and accuracy tested psychics, each with their own unique gifts. Each psychic has a detailed profile for you to find out more about them and to choose from the list of some of the most authentic gifted psychics around. It is an honor working with Doug and Psychic Access because of the high expectations required of each psychic. And I mean that from the bottom of my heart. So all the co-hosts here on Psychic Access Talk PsychicRadio.com, work at Psychic Access. So if you would like a personal reading from any one of us, please be sure to visit us at PsychicAccess.com. We'd love to hear from you. By the way, Sidebars and Web Masters can earn 50 cents per minute on every reading on reading on traffic that is referred to PsychicAccess.com. So for more details, visit http://psychicaccess.com/webmasters. I believe you also will find that on our other sites here too, a link to that. So if you like our show, please invite your friends, your pets, everybody, you know, to join in our chat room, because you know there's a lot of fun going on there, and listen to the psychic viewpoint. So there's something for everybody, even your cats and dogs and other animal treats. So please spread the word. We very much appreciate it. Now, I'm going to give the call-in number for the readings at the end of the show, which will be coming up sooner than the later, probably within 30 minutes or less than 30 minutes. And that number is 724-444-4851. And please wait, though, to call at 9:15 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So do not call before that, because it just won't work out. So that's all we ask, and we'd appreciate it. And then we go to, now here comes our fun time, girls. You ready? Let's have some fun. I love this stuff. I mean,
yes.
So especially because, you know, Rez knows my story, and I think Doug does too, but you girls are just hearing it. Thank you for calling me Mermaid Nancy. That made me feel really happy. But Sharon, there is something going to happen. You feel something. What is this?
Okay, well, I was listening to you. You all seem to have something also. But before the Japan one, I was feeling antsy all over. Like, it was like probably about a week before, and I was feeling it from people. So I guess it was just the energy. I didn't know what it was, but I was listening on the show, and you all seemed to have something too. Like, everyone seems to get something before the earthquakes.
Well, I didn't know that about Rez, actually, but you know what? I thought, like I said, I do not like this. I do not like it at all. But Rez, it was interesting that you brought that up. But Nancy, you know, I don't, whether we're living in California or not, I it's almost like it's actually very physically tormenting, and I've gotten sick from it because it goes on for weeks.
Yeah, it's like when your skin gets, you just feel really hypersensitive. Your skin is as if somebody just touches you, you know, and it's like, ooh. It's just as if you've got a low-level electrical current running through you or something, and maybe we do, you know, but...
We do, because, you know, it's almost like sometimes Whittier one, the first one when I really started feeling it, it was like it was coming, it's almost like it was standing, and I could feel, I can't even explain, but I felt like, and I thought, okay, I'm only listening, but I wasn't using anything to do so. But I felt like I could feel something very deep down to the center of the earth was coming, and there's electric stuff, energy just coming up through my feet all the way up. And that's when I started having a lot of physical problems every time it happened. And so whenever I get like that, and also I see things shaking before. Now, whether I'm hallucinating, I don't care. You know, what it is. Things will start shaking weeks before a major earthquake then will hit. So, you know, call me weird, but yeah, okay, or crazy, but I'm good crazy.
Yeah.
That's great. So, thank you, Sharon. And so, Nancy, can you tell us about your earthquake experience, please?
Well, as you probably know, I live in Canada. And there hasn't been a lot of earthquake activity where I live. I know on the West Coast in Vancouver there's been stuff, but I live just outside Montreal. And there was an earthquake last year, and I actually, I don't remember how I felt before. I usually do have sensations and feelings about when something is going to happen, just in general, but I'm not used to being around extreme weather. So I remember I was getting ready to go out of town, and we live in the country, and I thought I heard the house sitter pull up in the yard, and I looked out, and all the corn was blowing really hard in one direction, which I never see. Like, usually it's just gently waving back and forth. But it was like a scene out of Children of the Corn. And I was like, oh, I thought I heard a car or felt a car come into the driveway. And then I found out later that we had a earthquake, and that it had been mostly, I think, in Ottawa, which is about an hour and a half away, when we were getting the tremors out here. And then I was involved in another one not long after that. I was teaching yoga, actually, to a seniors group, and I practice Kundalini yoga. So if anybody knows about Kundalini energy, you know, the energy is supposed to be rising, and there's all kinds of rumors about how Kundalini energy is dangerous, which is not. And as we were doing yoga, a small earthquake apparently hit, and it was like a big bang out in the middle of the street. So all the seniors were very scared, and I said, oh, it's just a truck. And we kind of joked about the Kundalini energy. And then again, I found out it was another earthquake. So even though I haven't been exposed to them because of my geographic location, and I spent a lot of time in the Arctic, so, you know, we didn't get any up there. But, you know, in the last year, I've been in two earthquakes.
You know, well, I think earthquakes actually have no, I think they're just wherever they want to go now. You know, I've heard about noise was happening in some and everything else like that, too. And, you know, and tornadoes coming out here in California. I think everything's out of, it's the global warming, I guess, fact.
But it is, totally.
I think that's very interesting. And I don't think that what you do in yoga is a bad thing.
No, I don't know, but it
people just
they were scared for a few minutes.
you could scare them really good if you want to. But well, thanks, Sharon. Nancy Sharon, I'll go through my whole family members. That's what you call getting old. Sorry. Oh, Rez, what is your take on Jim's methods for predicting earthquakes?
Oh, well, they make perfect sense to me, but that could be because I'm a weirdo too. But, you know, what it's really talking about is something that's as ancient as our planet and everything on it, you know, the reactions, the intuitive, instinctual abilities of animals. You know, why should we as humans be any different? I think we've just forgotten how to do it. Every surfer knows, Maureen, that, you know, the moon affects the tide. And that affects everything else. And everything's affected by that energetically, electrically, sonically, you know. So it just, you know, it kind of baffles me that so many people think that he's a nutcase. Because it's just, you know, he's talking about and utilizing methods that we as human beings, you know, aside from the animals, have had always, you know. And if we don't start listening to our intuition and our abilities and stop second guessing ourselves when we feel these things, physical sensations as well as intuitive sensations, you know, we're gonna get into trouble. It's important now more than ever, I think. So I think he's way, way ahead of his time, as well as being, you know, right with the ancient guys. Good job, Jim, you know.
Yeah, you know, I was really glad. Well, you know, he was on Coast to Coast, and, you know, which you and I know about that with Art Bell, George Norrie. And I've been following Jim, actually, when that it was the Whittier earthquake that I heard it. I mean, my roommate Linda was sitting there, I go, don't you hear that noise? And she goes, what are you talking about? I go, don't you hear that noise? Yeah. And within about 60 seconds, our house is just rumbling all over the place.
Yeah.
I could hear it. I don't like that. I mean, it's not like I said I want to be an earthquake predictor. I don't proclaim. But it's just I'm very sensitive to the environment with this.
Do you remember hearing when that happened? This just came to me. A kind of a low-level hum.
Yeah, it was. It wasn't like a big explosion of any sort. It was like a hum. It was like a hum, and then it was almost like it hit LA, it hit the Whittier. Well, Long Beach, you know, is not so far away from the Whittier.
Yeah.
But it was interesting because it wasn't really it's almost like my hearing could hear some. I was like Superwoman. But it was like, you know, the animals weren't doing anything at that time yet either. It was like I could hear. It wasn't loud, but I could hear, and I could feel the vibration, and it was a hum. It was like a hum, and I could feel vibrating.
Mm-hmm. It's unsettling.
And don't get the wrong way, you know.
I know. And you get what I meant before when I said that those of us who have lived in and used to live in California get used to it. You don't get used to the big earthquakes or the unsettling, helpless feeling that brings you. But you know, every now and then there'll be dishes rattling or, you know, things, just this little like shake, this little teeny weeny shake, you know, and then you stop and you wait and nothing happens and you go on with your life. But I think that Californians especially have it always in their mind that, you know, what's going to happen next, because that happens pretty often, you know, the little rattles and the sonic and stuff like that. But you know, you always have it in your mind what's going to happen, you know, because there's always that, the big one's coming, you know, and I really hope that we don't manifest that on purpose.
Well, you know, that Easter quake that I was talking about, which was a year ago, Doug knows all about this, but, you know, he's not interacting. I think I might have told you, but everybody else, but it was something else. It was Easter Sunday, and I don't know what, it was a year ago last Easter, okay, and, you know, I didn't want to be around my family part mostly. I went to church with my parents, and I dropped them off at home, and my daughter was there, and my sister gets on my anyway, I wanted to get home. I had nothing to do, but I just said I had something to take care of. So I dropped them all off and wanted to do my isolated thing, and then I go back right when dinner was going to happen, right? Well, shame on me, because I came home by myself, and I was doing my thing, got ready in shorts or whatever I put on, and that earthquake, I think I told people back, because they called me and said I was okay. I had never, ever experienced that type of sensation in that earthquake, and it was rolling. It was so slow, but tilting. And it lasted for almost a minute. It was freaking me out, because I've never felt that kind of feeling. And I felt a lot of earthquakes, you know, living here. And also, it's almost like, what is this? And I never will get used to it. So I start thinking, I'm alone. Man, what am I going to do? I'm all alone. It serves me right. I should be with my family. You know, they're down the road. You know, they're 4 miles away. But no, I had to come home. And not only that, after it stopped, I went downstairs. And then I was telling Jim there. All of a sudden, the lifeguards are going, everybody get off the beach. Yep. We have had, there may be a tsunami. I'm like, oh, what have I done to myself? You know, it was the fact that I live in tsunami all over the place, it just freaks me. And the signs went up about 4 years ago all over here.
Oh, man. Yeah. That could be a very long minute. I know what you mean.
And you know what? I'll never get used to it as long as I am here. I don't care what anybody says. It is what it is. It's like the turn of anything. You cannot do your power. You completely have no control over it at all.
I'm so weird at feeling.
And you don't know, okay, so what's going to happen? Is this going to be it? I just hid underneath all my clothes, billions of clothes in my closet. Thinking it would break the thing, but yeah.
I remember when I was in elementary school, they would say, they would have practices where everybody would hide under their desk.
Yeah, I remember that.
Like, what is that going to do? You know?
I know, they did that for the bombs, you know, in the 60s too. Remember, I used to laugh about that. Yeah, but we'll rest for a minute. Well, you know what? I wanted to ask Sharon. Someone had a theory once about earthquakes. Can you share that with us, Sharon?
Sure. I haven't really tested this one, but someone said that if something happens at one side of the world, within a little bit of while, it'll happen. If you went straight through the earth, something will happen on the other side. And I've never really tested it, but I just wondered if you ever heard that before. So, like, let's say there's an earthquake on the other side, like right through the earth. Right through the earth, something will happen.
Wait, I don't understand.
Okay, so let's say, I don't know, let's say something happens on one side of the world, like there's an earthquake or something. So within a little bit of time, if you went right through the earth, whatever's on the other side of that, that something will happen there. So it's like a reaction through the earth.
You know, that happened with Japan. That happened with Japan because the boats in San Diego and San Francisco were demolished. In fact, my brother's a boat here in San Diego, because after the tsunami hit Japan, it came over here.
And it's on the other side of the world? Like,
Well, Japan and California.
Yeah.
Think about it. Do you girls know what I'm talking about?
Uh-huh. Isn't that neat? Yeah, someone told me that, and then I thought I'd never really tested it. But
well, you know, it was actually very scary because I never saw anything like it because that's pretty far, Japan to here.
Uh-huh.
So, because of the tsunami, it was like a goblin, but we had tsunami warning, though. But the boats were detached. It was a mess. It was almost, it was like in a $3-4 million devastation.
Mm. Wow, it's crazy.
And it came like 2 days after the tsunami hit. Maybe.
Interesting.
But thanks for bringing it up because, you know, that it did happen. I know, Wes, if you heard about it, Nancy, or anybody in the chat room, I think they probably would have because I know some people in there are in California. But
There were a lot of people, well, not a lot, but there were a few people that were putting up 24/7 web cameras looking at, keeping track of the radiation levels. With machinery keeping track of the radiation levels in Hawaii and in California, too, you know, and you would look at those every now and then and just see them go up and look at storm reports, and it was pretty scary.
Well, yeah, the devastation that I saw the boats, and even like I said, over here by in the Marriott in downtown San Francisco, my brother has a boat there. Boats, I mean, not really expensive, but they were mutilated. There were also some. Barges, some docks were detached, and not only that, I think up in Northern California and even in Oregon, it was even more so damaged down there. They were just ripped apart, and that was just from the tsunami, the earthquake, and then the tsunami that hit the tides here. I mean, it was outrageous. I mean, I can only imagine. I mean, I just, because I remember seeing it, and I was like, whoa. And the tide did recede a bit, but it wasn't like we had tsunami, but it did, and it damaged and it broke apart. This is all going on way far deep in the water, too, you guys, if you think about it.
Mm-hmm.
But, it's amazing. So, I wanted to ask Nancy, what is your perspective on earthquakes and other natural disasters? Like me tonight, having
Well, it's funny because we were just talking about that in the chat room about the shift in consciousness of people in the world and, you know, possibly Mother Nature is upset with us. And that's totally what I think as well, that all these disasters, the universe and nature is trying to tell us something, like we've abused the earth for so long and many of us have gone off our path. And, you know, and I think it's just we need to, you know, stop the wars and look at how we're recycling things and just take better care of the earth. And I think that part of it is that, you know, there's been so much abuse of the environment and of the world, and, you know, so I think that it's Mother Nature trying to tell us something. And I think there's more and more happening because the earth is becoming more and more toxic. And, you know, I mentioned a couple of times I lived up in the Arctic, and you can really notice, the global warming up there with the ice. And, you know, people used to be able to skidoo out on the ocean, and then all of a sudden some springs you can't skidoo out very far. And then, you know, there's worries about the polar bears and all the other animals that depend on the ice flows to, you know, for food and things like that. So it's pretty frightening, and I think that, you know, nature's trying to tell us something.
You know, Mother Earth can be very vicious sometimes.
Exactly.
But, you know, I guess it is what it is. Well, maybe my body will say something otherwise, but I kind of think that we're probably not going to be. I don't think, for instance, because I'm in California, you know, I always laugh about, oh, yeah, Las Vegas or Phoenix is going to have waterfront property and all that. But once in a while I look and I think, you know, because I'm into Tucson, you know, that all over the beach saying, you know, watch out. And sometimes I have these visions, bad visions, that I'm going to be just gone. And if it's fast, I don't care. But I don't think in my lifetime it will happen. I think we've always had these earthquakes stuff going on. But buildings are incredible. We're really fortunate. You know, come on. Tornadoes, I learned a lot, though, from being with my friends and Eric and Kim with the tornadoes. Those are creepy. I mean, some of the earthquakes.
Yeah.
Those are really scary. So
yeah, they are.
There are those tornadoes. But, Rez, I wanted to ask you, what are your thoughts about earth changes taking place these days?
Well, I agree with Nancy, you know, and with you. And I also think that whether it's earthquakes or mega storms, tsunamis, things of that type, I believe that the earth acts in direct proportion to not just the way that we treat her, our planet, but also in direct proportion to our psyches, our mindsets. I believe there's a connection in the way we treat each other, not just individually, but I'm talking about all of the wars and the major negativity going on all over the planet. You know, we cannot continue to engage in wars on the scale that we are, and engage in greed, and engage in hatred, and engage in all the negative things that we are engaging in, as well as abusing the resources that we have, and not expect any kind of reaction from the place on which we reside. You know, it's not, our planet is not just about the physical resources that we have. It is made of energy. It is made of electricity. And so are our thoughts, and so are our actions. It's all connected. And I don't know if I'm making a lot of sense here, but maybe you guys understand what I'm trying to say. It's we affect each other, and we affect everything around us. And so our planet is going to react in proportion to that. And I think there's so many ways that the divine tries to get our attention.
I agree with you, so, absolutely. You know, I agree with what you're saying. And how can you argue? How can you argue that? Where it's the person who put, I love using that word because it is the person who put in. And because I know on the negative scale, you know, we can put out that negative, because in my life, put out too much and freak out about something, it still will kind of hit me, that negative stuff. It just comes around. So, and we're all connected. You know how I feel about the collective consciousness stuff. So,
yes.
Thank you, Rez. You know, we have a lot of people on the call. We're getting ready to do our calls, you guys. And so, because, woohoo. And hi to everybody in the chat that I haven't been able to say hi to personally, but I would like to say hi. So, thanks, Rez, a lot. And girls, Sharon and Nancy. So, when you come to the part of the show, we will be taking your calls and questions, so you can either. Well, this time around, you're probably not going to be asking in the chat room because we have so many calls, but we will take them in the chat if the calls, we're not there. But however, we do have to take the calls first due to the wait time. So the call number again is 724-444-4851. And be sure, okay, also, you will automatically be placed on hold and will be answered in the order received, so please relax and listen to the show while you wait. And please be very specific and direct with your question, as this will allow us to better connect with your situation. So the first call up is from Rez, from Illinois. Hello, Illinois. The one who had earthquakes recently. Hi, Illinois. I know they're there.
Hello?
Hello?
Illinois. Illinois. And this will be for you, Rez. The first call is from Illinois. Hi, Illinois. Come in, Illinois.
Hello?
Yeah. Wait, did I hear something? Illinois, you there?
Gosh darn.
We have someone else that's coming up, and I'll tell you in a minute. Here it comes. And this will be for Rez, of course, as I mentioned. Oh, she's in it. Hi, Illinois. Are you there? Hello?
Hello, my name is Shelly.
Shelly. There you go, Rez. It's all yours.
Far out. Hi, Shelly. What can I help you with tonight?
Hi. I was calling about a romance relationship, and I've been dating a gentleman now for 5 months, and I want to know whether or not this was leading into a serious relationship, because we're going kind of slow now, but I wanted to know where it was leading and how soon we'll be talking about commitment.
Mm-hmm. Okay. First of all, I do see that it's working toward, it's moving toward a commitment. I see it's kind of cute, really. It's as if you're both scared to death of each other.
Yes.
Kind of relationships. Yeah. One thing that I don't want you to worry about is communication, more specifically, what may seem like a lack of communication. I just sense so strongly you're both doing the same thing, like, well, I don't want to contact him too much or call him too much, or he might think, you know, I'm too forward, and he's going, well, if I say too much or do too much or try to contact her too much, he might get the wrong idea. But you're going to work it out. So communication is going to be a struggle for a little while. Being able to spend physical time together, I see, is a struggle too. Being able to be in the same place with each other. However,
the time constraints and work schedules make it very difficult.
Yeah.
So we're not able to spend as much quality time together. So that's the issue too. But I was wondering, even with all those issues, that it will still come. You know, the relationship will still become committed?
Yes, I feel that it will. I feel strongly that it will. I'm seeing the Justice card here and the Three of Discs, which simply tells me that everything will work out in due time, that you will work together for this. You want the same things. I don't feel like some kind of secrets that either of you are keeping from each other, no baggage or anything like that. You're both a lot alike, and so I feel that being practical as heck as you both are, that you'll find a way and you'll work it out. Yeah, you're both.
Well, you know, when will it break? When will it open? Whereas we will be able to spend the time and come to a conclusion about will it come to an end soon? The communication difficulties.
Yeah, you know, there's something strongly I see around the 4th of July holiday, that holiday weekend. You're actually going to spend some alone time together, and that's when things are really going to gel for the two of you. So keep that in mind. You know, don't be afraid to suggest maybe getting together or anything like that. That's going to be, I'll just call it magic time for you guys. So look forward to that. And you will work it out. Any challenges that you have are small, and you will work them out. And I see you being a couple skipping happily off into the sunset. Okay?
Thank you. As long as I know we're on the right path, I feel good about it. Thank you.
You're doing fine. Come and talk to me on Psychic Access, too, and let me know how you're doing.
Yes, ma'am.
All right. Awesome.
Okay, have a good evening, ladies. Bye-bye.
Night, Shelley.
Thank you, Rose. That was lovely. You're lovely.
Fine.
You just, I adore you. And the next caller is for Nancy and from Virginia. Hi, Virginia. Calling for Nancy.
Hi.
Hi, Nancy. How are you? This is Dee.
Hi, how are you, Dee?
I'm doing fine. I'm just calling to find out. Work has been very, very stressful. There's a lot going on. Not too sure exactly what is going on, but I can feel and sense that something is going on. I don't know if it's good or bad, but I'm just not getting the good vibes.
Okay. And is this a place that you've worked for a long time?
Yes.
Okay. And you enjoy it. Under normal circumstances, you enjoy it, right?
Well, it's okay. It's a job. it's okay. Yeah.
Okay. I think there is some changes, but it's nothing bad. And I think that has there been some new people coming, or somebody gone off on maternity leave? Has there been some shifting of staff for various reasons?
Not within my group per se, no.
Okay. Okay. Because I don't see anything, like there's nothing, there's no negative thing going on, and I think that there's some changes coming about, like positive changes around you and in your area that may have an impact on you, but there's going to be a positive impact. And I think that, you know, with things going on, a lot of places are changing how they work and how they do things. So I think, you know, you're very sensitive to energy and stuff, so you're picking up on
you know, a change. We're talking about shifting and everything. You're picking up on a shift that's happening, but it's not a bad shift. And I think that there's a lot of really positive things happening. And I think where you work is actually there. What kind of work is it that you do?
I work for, I'm a defense contractor for the government.
Okay, so I think that, you know, there's a lot of changes coming about. And I see the justice card there, so that's unusual and funny. But, yeah, so I see that things are moving forward for you in a very positive way, but I think there's some things going on underneath, you know, kind of management level and stuff that's happening that is going to have a wonderful impact on you, but nobody's talking about anything right now. So there's some infrastructure changes that are happening that are going to affect you in a wonderful way. And I think that, you know, we're often, you know, when we feel change happening, we're often scared, you know, when we think it's a bad thing, but there's change happening, but it is a good thing, and it's good for you. And there's a lot of you know, people around you that are very positive, and you're easy to work with, and you make a real positive difference in the workplace. So there's a lot of, you know, great things happening around you, and it's, you know, there's nothing bad. I don't see it as a promotion, but I think there's a shift, some changes in your position that are going to happen that are something that's going to make it even more enjoyable for you. So there's some positive things taking place. So you just have to sit back and enjoy, and it's going to be exciting too. Because often, you know, jobs can get very mundane and things get kind of boring. But things are going to change up a little bit before the better, and things are going to become even more enjoyable for you at your work, and you're going to start enjoying your job even more. Does that make sense?
Is that within this year, or are we talking about next year?
No, within the year, totally. Within the year.
Okay.
Yeah, within the year. And I think that you're going to see some changes in the people around you as well. But again, it's going to be a shift for the positive, and they're going to, you know, change the way they do things a little bit. But in the end, it's going to be more beneficial for you.
And that was the reason why I kind of posed the question, because my manager and I, we have a very good relationship, and within the past couple of weeks, I can feel the distance between us. And
yeah,
so I was just a little concerned about that.
Yeah, and I think what's happening is that, you know, when change is happening, people are often afraid how other people are going to take it. So I think it's just some preoccupation on her part rather than distance, you know, in a bad way. I think she's just preoccupied and, you know, working things out in her mind. And, you know, it, often we see it on the other side as distance, but really she's, you know, preoccupied and thinking a lot. So I wouldn't worry about that.
Okay.
Thank you for calling. And sorry, Nancy. That was a great reading.
That's okay.
Oh, yeah, so many
bye-bye.
People. That's great. We have people waiting, but that was a great reading. Thank you for calling.
Yes, thanks, Dee.
Good night. And we have our next caller for Sharon from Massachusetts. Hi, Massachusetts.
Hello.
Hi.
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 Your name?
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome. What's your name, please?
My name is Ellen.
Ellen, okay. did you have a question for me tonight?
Yes, I do. I thought I had a job. I thought they were going to make a formal offer, and they never called, and I haven't been able to call them. I mean, I haven't been able to reach them. So I was wondering if, in fact, I do have this job, and if not, could you maybe give me some guidance as far as the job goes?
Okay. What I'm seeing is that they were very impressed with you when you came for the interview, and I'm seeing that they're almost like they're thinking, are you good for that job or are you good for another job? So I could see them sort of questioning if it was the right job for you or should they put you into something else. But I do see another offer kind of like coming in and you'll have a choice of two. I'm seeing that, I'm sort of getting like the 23rd, 24th, something around there, where you're going to have two offers on the table and you're going to be like, oh, this is good. You know, so be prepared for that. And I'm feeling you're coming into a really nice time where it's kind of like, you know, when you're walking and thinking you're in the flow and everything kind of feels good, and it just feels like that for you. And I'm feeling it's probably about the next 6 months you're going to be feeling more flowy, more like things are more gentle, and you don't have to push as hard. So, you know, let go a bit and see what comes up. But I would say you have two offers on the table very soon.
Okay, great.
Now, okay?
Okay, thank you very much.
You're welcome. You take care.
Okay.
Thank you, Sharon. That was lovely. And the next caller is from New York, and it's Lamorie, me. Hi.
Hello?
Hi. And what's your name?
Margaret.
Hi, Margaret. And I'm Maureen. I'll be reading for you. And what would you like me to?
I have like two or three like little problems. First of all, I want to know if Chris Voltaggio likes me or is interested in me or wants to have coffee with me.
Okay. Because we're doing this, they're short readings, and so maybe I can just focus on one thing. You'll get more from it. So, how about this? Is Chris interested in having coffee with you? I'll focus on that.
There's another guy in the picture, too, and I'm not, like, really sure what's going on.
Okay, well, okay, I have 5 minutes. I'll see what I can do in 5 minutes, and I'll talk fast, but here we go. And because of the venue, we're in, you know, the situation, these readings are faster. Okay, I get a feeling that you're not very happy. You don't have a lot of faith in one of the situations with somebody. I don't know which one this is, if there's two of them. But you've like kind of, it's someone that I think that you've known longer than the other, but there's a good reason why I feel that you've lost some faith or hope about the situation. You're not very happy. I don't see a lot of sunshine. When is not, is Chris a new person?
Chris, I've known since college. Like, he's a sweet guy, but we've never really talked, and I asked for coffee, like, on Facebook.
Okay. I am seeing a guy here that looks like he might have, his eyes are very interesting. They're cool. They're, like, maybe green, like hazel green or something. He does appear to be, he has a lot of good energy. He appears to be flying, coming in and coming out. And he's very charming, and he may be a little flirtatious as well, harmlessly. But he has a lot of really great energy, and his hair looks like it's a light brownish. Do you know who this might be? You know this, which one this might be?
Brownish what?
His eyes are very interesting. I get something about his eyes. Really, he's very nice on the eyes too. People, women find him really good looking. He's charming, and he looks like he comes in.
He's
maybe
a
man. Who's that?
That's the other guy. He's got really nice, beautiful, chocolatey brown eyes.
Okay. He's really positive, but he is non-committal right now, and that's just not how he runs and his energy. I do feel really good about him, but it seems like you're not really happy about anybody or fulfilling you right now, and I think that it's really, I think you're heading for a big shift and change in how you see things and what you want, you know, what you don't want, and so forth. So I just see one person that you should be really focusing on, maybe. I'm not saying don't have coffee with the guy. I mean, of course, go have coffee with him. You just don't seem like you're really happy, you know, with anybody, really. But I just see this other one that you said you knew of, and he looks like his energy is really good, and it might be really good for you while you're going through some changes, a big change, actually. So, there you have it. But, you know, when you go out for coffee, maybe you don't feel real, you're not at your best energy happy type, you know what I mean?
He's not a happy type. Is that what you're saying? Is that what you're saying? He's not a really happy type?
No, you just feel kind of sad about things, about relationships altogether.
Mm-hmm.
You lose faith in it, you know? But it's going to be good. It'll get better. There's some stuff you're working through, and I think you'll find out more of it is. And it's good. It's healthy. So you'll be fine. But I just see this one charming looking person that's really going to be a lot of. He's a little bit. He's fun. He'll be good.
Dan guy.
The good-looking, eyes ones. The one with the eyes.
Yeah, the one with the really sexy eyes.
Yeah, that one. Uh-huh. Well, there you have it. Thanks for calling. I'm sorry, you know, because these have to be short readings, but sure, try to know that things are you will not be disappointed. Things are going to get a lot better for you. But you are going through some inner work, I think. I feel that very strongly.
Hmm?
I feel like you're going through some inner work and working on yourself, and so I think that you're going to be picking some really good, healthy people that you choose to be around that will be reciprocating back to you like they should. Okay? Thank you for calling. Okay. Well, our next call is for Rez. And Rez is a call from Ontario. Wait, what is that? Well, I don't know if I pronounced that right, but Montreal. Thank you. Hi, Montreal. There you go, Rez.
Cool. Hi.
Hi. Hello.
Who am I speaking with?
Sorry?
What's your name?
Shauna.
Hi, Shauna. What's your question for me tonight?
Okay, well, I've been kind of seeing this guy, and we used to be really close, and we used to talk a lot and see each other a lot, and lately we've kind of been distant, but he'll still contact me, and I'm just wondering if it's going to turn into a commitment.
Oh, okay. Well, this is so interesting. I'm seeing the Wheel of Fortune card first, which is representative specifically of what you said, of change. It reminds us that everything changes and nothing stays the same. And then I'm seeing the Death card, which doesn't mean anybody's going to die or anything like that. But it does indicate a resurrection, a rebirth of a situation that changed or that existed in the past. So I would say very much so that your relationship, as it used to be, is going to resurrect, and that, you know, I feel like he's going through a phase or a stage where right now he's got to feel like he wants to feel like he's a different person. This is all about his ego. He feels like he needs to be cool and be, you know, tough and be someone other than he really is. And I think he's going to come down off of that high horse, that pretentiousness, you know, after a little while, and go back to the people that mean the most to him, and you're definitely one of those people. So hang in there. He's just being goofy right now, and I really think that it's going to improve.
So, do you know when he'd ask me to make it official and how long it's going to take for him to change back to how he was?
I would say that a little bit of a wait, you've got probably till almost the end of summer, meaning almost till the end of August, but let him have his, you know, summer adventure, you know, and then I see you guys being back together as a committed relationship and really him appreciating you for who you really are, which is what you want. That didn't really happen so much before, huh? So I think he'll be more mature, you'll be ready for each other then, and we can look at more details about that absolutely later on in Psychic okay. Access, but it's going to work out.
Do you know when he's going to ask me, though, to be his girlfriend?
Closer to the end of summer, yeah. It's going to take a little bit. We got a little wait here.
Okay. And so it's not about me. It's just that he's going through some changes or something?
Exactly. Don't you dare take on responsibility for that or think anything's wrong with you. Not for a second. Promise?
Okay.
Okay.
All right, I promise.
Thanks
right,
a lot.
Thank
we'll
you.
Talk soon. Come on in and let us know how you're doing.
I will. Thanks so much.
Bye. Thanks for calling. Thanks, Rez. That was a great reading.
Thank you.
You're right on what I've been telling her. Okay, the next call. Well, the next call is for Nancy, and it's a call from Ohio. There you go, Nancy.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. What was your name again?
My name is Amber.
Amber, and how are you this evening?
I'm doing okay. I actually kind of have
good.
A question kind of along the lines of what the last girl had a question about. It's
okay.
About a relationship. We were together for a while, about a year, and he got a job promotion and moved, and Uh-huh. We stayed in contact for about a year and a half. But we got into a bit of an argument, and it's now been, I'm going to say, like 3 months since I talked to him. But this isn't the first time, because we did this last year. We kind of lost faith last year for about 4 months, too. So I just kind of wonder if, you know, he's going to come back around, or if I should move on, or what I should do, I guess.
Yes, and what's happening now is a rest period, and I think that, you know, sometimes our, you know, arguments are awful when we're going through them, and obviously there's been a lot of an after effect with you guys because you kind of stopped speaking, but I think it was needed to, you know, you guys weren't really on the same page, and he's got some stuff going on in his move. Now, did he move for... did you say he got a raise, or did he just finish school and get in the...
It was a job promotion, yeah. It was a job promotion, so...
Okay, because I see him, you know, you guys are going to reconnect on some level, and I think he's going to... Like, there's a lot of positive cards coming up here surrounding him, surrounding you. The next little while, there's, like, not so great. Like, I see you guys going through a little bit more turmoil. There's some misunderstandings that, you know, you've got to get through and work things out. But I see it as an opportunity for you guys to clear the air. You know, because often in relationships, we... You know, we don't speak about things, and we're afraid to discuss and argue and clear things up. So I think this has really been an opportunity, as difficult as it's been for you. I think it's been a wonderful opportunity for you guys to clear the air. So what's going to happen now? You guys are rebuilding your relationship, so just take it easy and enjoy it. And, you know, he is going to contact you again in the next, I would say, within the next 4 weeks, and you're going to slowly start to rebuild your relationship. Now, the distancing is a bit of a difficulty. So was that, like, did he move for good, or was it for a specific amount of time?
He's actually, at this point, it's for good. I don't know if anything will change later that'll bring him back, or the position he took was to be, like, he opened up a plant, and now he's the manager of it, so...
Good for him. So, but I see that, you know, it's, you know, relationship building doesn't happen overnight. So, I mean, sometimes, you know, from a distance, it'll give you an opportunity to clear the air. And then when you do get to the point where you decide that you want to try it again, which is going to happen, then you're going to have a lot of decision making coming up. So right now I wouldn't think about that, but just, you know, start to rebuild things with him and just try and understand that, you know, it's harder when you're separated, but, you know, you do have an opportunity to rebuild what you had before and make it even better, and, you know, use this time to work things out, because it is going to head that way. You are going to work things out with him, and, you know, this needed break is actually going to give you an opportunity to deal with the differences that you do have and make things better.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you so very much.
Good luck. Take care.
All right. Bye-bye.
Thanks for calling.
Hi, Sharon.
Hi.
Next call's for you, I think, from Ontario. And there you have it, Ontario. Sure.
Hello, Ontario, are you there?
Hello.
Hi. Can I have your name, please?
Hi. My name is New.
New? Okay. Did you have a question for me?
Yes. I recently been getting into network marketing, and it's totally something completely new that I'm learning. And I just want to know if, do you see it going anywhere? Will I be making some kind of income from it eventually, or not?
Okay, I see that you really resonate with this, with what you're doing. I'm feeling that it gets you excited. It feels like it for a long time, it feels like you've been doing something that's kind of been mundane or boring or something like that. And I feel when you think about this, you get excited. And I am feeling it's going to make money. It might not be tomorrow. You know, it feels like it's going to need a little bit of time to be ripe. But I'd say by
I'd say by August, the end of August, September, you're going to start seeing some money from it. And it feels like it's almost like you're going to connect to somebody or something online that maybe it's Google. I don't know. I have no idea. But you're going to connect to something and it's going to start the ball rolling. It's almost like you have to get out there. Does it feel like that? Does that make any sense to you?
Yes, it does actually. I've been working on like websites and stuff, and I'm working on getting like selling jewelry online as well.
Okay.
So my plan is to do it by the end of this year, so it might be that.
Right. Yeah. Whatever it is, it just feels good, and it doesn't feel like one thing, like you said though. It feels like, you know, once it's in your blood, kind of, you know, and once you get the hang of it and how easy it is and how good you're at it, it's just going to snowball and you're going to have so much fun with it. And I see some courses that you're going to be taking starting in September too. It might not be full time, but it might be like part time, but I feel you're really going to enjoy that. It's just like you can't get enough of this stuff. Does that feel right?
Awesome. That's awesome. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. A nice door is opening for you. So just walk through it. All right.
Thank you.
Okay. You take care. Okay. Bye bye.
Take care too. Bye.
Thank you, Sharon. That was lovely. And the next call is for me, and it's from George. Call from Georgia. Hi, Georgia. How are you?
Hello?
Hi. What's your name? Georgia? Calling from Georgia. Hi.
It's Kathy.
Hi, Kathy. I'm ready for you. How are you doing?
I'm good. I have a question on gaining employment. Do you see me getting employment anytime soon?
Okay. And, you know, I do feel you really are in a good place. You have the strength available to go for anything. And I feel that, absolutely, you need, I feel the last situation you were in was something where you weren't getting a lot of acknowledgement for your credit that you were doing and all that. And I do feel if you're, I see you being liberated. I also feel there's something about your creativity that could make that you would later on be able to make a nice little income out of, like in your home. You're real creative, and there's some projects I've seen you do. And I don't know what you're working with your hands, and maybe writing or drawing or putting things together. There's something that I think that would be doing something on your own that would be very, very potentially very good opportunity for you. Does that make sense?
Not really, because I'm more in accounting, so I'm not that creative in that aspect.
Well, have you ever had something that a while ago that you were creative and you put it down, you had finished some things, and you gave it up and you decided to work in the, you know, like people do? I just think that there's something that you could do on your own if you wanted to. It's an opportunity. You have it in you. I think maybe you might have not been doing it for quite a while, but still, I see you like an apprentice learning or getting back into something that you used to do that was creative. I think there'll be, and it's almost like I see it being very liberating, and I say that you can actually do it. If you can go back and reflect on anything that you can remember that you may have put aside, you know, once in a while you think about.
Okay. So do you not see anything in my field anytime soon?
No, I do. But, you know, I also feel that it would be to your advantage to go back and get some more experience, whether it be a non-conventional learning student type of things. There's something else, like it's more training in something. Yeah, I do. I feel there's opportunities for you. I was just picking up on the best thing I see going on would be the opportunity, if you were up for it, is getting back into your creative work and doing something like that. But no, I do see that there's something else, but I do think you need to get, like, there's a certification or more, there's something else, but go back as a student or do a course or something. It would add to you getting, yeah, absolutely. I see no reason that you'd be getting within the next, I don't know, within 8 weeks, there's going to be a very interesting time period. And then throughout the next 8 months, I do feel you're going to be working, but you're going to be in a much healthier work situation where you're not going to be one that's not acknowledged for what you can do. I think you were overqualified in your last job. So, Okay. I hope that helps you.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. Bye-bye. Thanks for calling. Okay, and our next call is for Rez, and it's in Wisconsin.
Far out. Hi, who's in Wisconsin?
Jesse.
Hi, Jesse. What's your question for me?
Hi. Okay. Well, how about if my sweetheart has a pretty unique situation?
Mm-hmm.
Just wondering if he is going to be okay, if he's going to make it through.
Okay, let me tell you what I'm saying for him. First of all, I'll tell you, he is going to be okay. He's going to work it out. He's a very resourceful guy. I am seeing that, I'm seeing some traveling for him, in other words. I'm seeing that one day he just decides to up and do it, to up and leave. Does that make sense to you?
Travel? He's going to up and leave travel?
Yeah.
Is that what you said you see?
That's what I see. And what I mean by that is not you, but headed in your direction.
Oh, for me?
Yes. Toward you.
Okay. Oh, toward me, I see. Okay.
Yes,
okay.
Yes, toward you. This involves, I'm kind of trying to put this in a nutshell, so to speak, but this does involve leaving his current life and lifestyle behind, and I feel like he just kind of impulsively decides one day, you know what, that's what I want to do. I want to be with her, and I want a different life, and I'm just going to go do it, and that's what he does, and that's what happens. Without, you know, giving all the details.
Okay. I guess also I've been doing a small business for about 10 years, and it's pretty successful. Yeah. And I'm looking into going into another area that's pretty foreign to me, but exciting, and I'm just very new at the whole subject, and I'm just wondering if it looks good.
Well, it does. I tell you, I see you incorporating the two, actually. Incorporating the two businesses, the two things that you do. I see you handing over the reins of the one you're in now currently to a partner that you don't have yet, but that you will have once you start pursuing the other one more. As we're so short on time here, definitely come into psychicaccess.com and find me, or Nancy, Maureen, or Sharon, and we can definitely talk a lot more about this. But I see good things for both of them, okay? And we can get more into it there. Is that a deal?
Yeah, deal. Great. Thank you.
Awesome. Thanks a lot.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Rez. That was good. And the next caller we have is for Nancy from Wisconsin. Washington State, I'm sorry. There you go.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi. How are you?
I'm just fine. How about yourself? Thank you for taking me.
Good. Oh, thanks for calling. And what was your name again?
I'm Be Happy, and I want to make sure I am actually going to get divorced or not. I'm having second thoughts.
Okay. So are you guys separated now physically?
No, we are not.
Okay. My cats are going crazy here, so I think something's happening. And, yeah, there's a lot of transformation around you. And is there somebody else in the picture?
No, there's not.
Another? Okay. Because I see there's a lot of, like the tower came up, and there's always like a lot of despair and often changes happening when that comes up. But the lover's card also came up, which can mean, you know, like a romantic relationship, but it can also stand for, you know, attraction of other kinds. So I think that, you know, definitely the divorce is coming, but there's also, I think that the next time around you're going to attract somebody into your life that is your equal, and
that is good for you. So the divorce is going to happen, and I think that, you know, even though divorces are difficult, it's going to be a positive experience, you know, outcome, because you are going to meet somebody else and have a better relationship than the current relationship that you're in now. Okay. Does that help?
Yes,
I went through kind of quickly. Are you in the decision process, or have you made the decision and there's other issues, or?
Still trying to decide. It's still in the
okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And there's things like that. I mean, they're difficult decisions. I've been there myself, and, you know, it's not one to be made lightly, so I think you have to weigh all the pros and cons, but I mean, if it's something that you really want and really feel that you need, don't be afraid to move forward and do what you need to do, because there's, you know, a lot of joy coming into your life, and I think that deep down inside you know what it is you have to do and move forward, and a lot of good things. That maybe you might hit a rough patch because, you know, you're making a major change in your life and you're moving on to the next part of your life, but it is going to be okay. So don't be afraid to move forward if you feel that you really need to do that, because it's going to be a positive move for you.
Okay.
Okay?
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Really. Take care. Good luck.
Thank you.
Thank you, Nancy. And our last call for this evening, this is a little busy, it's been great, is for Sharon from New York.
Hi. Hi, New York. Are you there?
Hello? It's Kate.
Hi, Kate. How are you?
I'm okay.
My That's question good.
Is about, and thank you for taking me. My question is about my job. I've always really liked it, and something happened earlier in the school year, and it caused some friction, and things have changed, which change is good, but I'm not feeling so happy about my job anymore, and I'm just wondering if the next school year is going to bring more positive things, or if I should be looking elsewhere.
Okay. The first thing I see is no. Stay where you are. The problem that happened, it feels like it was a lady, if I could be so bold, and it feels like it was someone with dark hair, kind of like around her head. And I'm just feeling that next year is going to be much better. Spirit keeps saying to me, stay put. That it'll be like back to old times. And I'm also seeing, I don't know if they're hiring someone else, but there's a friend coming for you that's kind of like it's going to make you really happy, and you guys are going to be friends even outside of work, and it's going to get, they're just saying it's going to get, Spirit's saying it's going to get back to the way it was. So don't, and try to let go of whatever happened, because I feel your heart hurting a bit, so just yeah. Let it go a little bit.
I feel like they haven't gotten past it, you know, that there's some grudge holding or something, you know.
Yeah.
But I cannot hold on to things.
But you're only responsible for you. So I feel the people that kind of are giving you a hard time aren't going to be there for some reason, or they're going to get moved to another position so you don't have to be with them. So, and I'm just feeling next year it'll be much better. So, see what happens.
You're pretty much on with that.
Pardon?
I said you're pretty much on with that, because
okay. You
know, the communication isn't really good. I work in a school district, so it doesn't come down for a while. They think they've got to keep it hush-hush, but the rumors are already circulating, and so she is, I think, going to be moved to another building, and you know, I have some friends who are psychic mediums, and I have my own things that I do, too, so this is just reaffirming for me what I've already heard and what I've felt. So,
yeah.
You are right on with that.
Okay. And you know what I'm feeling, too, just a little quickie, is that your energy is meant to be there. Like, it's like you're meant to be there. So just hold on for a while. Spirit's with you there.
Okay. And who is this?
Sharon.
Sharon
Bradley.
Thank you so much.
All right, you take care of yourself. Good luck.
Thank you. Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, Sharon. That was lovely. That was a wonderful reading. So, and that brings us, you know, and thank you, everybody, for coming tonight. We really enjoyed the energy in the chat room. And that brings us to the end of yet another wonderful show. And thank you, Doug, who works behind the scenes and keeps us on track as our executive producer. And thank you to my co-host for joining me tonight. And thank you, Rez, our guest co-host, for joining us as well. Really, I enjoyed it. Next week's show will be anchored by Sharon. What can we look forward to, Sharon, next week?
Okay, well, we're going to have a native elder on named Bear Running, and he's going to talk to us about animal totems. So it's going to be really good. It's going to be lots of fun.
Oh. Also, I'm sorry, also, the callers that we didn't get to tonight, I really apologize, but be sure to come back next week. We'll get to you, absolutely. Absolutely. So good night, everybody. Bless your hearts.
Rest in peace, everybody.
Good night.
Hello, my name is Rez Miranda. If you're having relationship, career, or life issues, I'm inviting you to experience what it's like to have access to professional, highly accurate psychics and spiritual advisors you can trust to care and help you. Register now to get your free 60-minute reading by telephone or chat. Get answers. Get access. Psychic access. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. PsychicAccess.com.